Welcome to the Five Pastors. Many voices are calling for your attention, but only one small voice has promised to guide you through the challenges of life if you allow it. That's the voice of the Bible. Lighthouse FM Radio presents these messages to help shine light on your path of life. Join us now as Pastor John Murley shares today's message.
We're going to continue in our sermon series that we started last week on the topic of forgiveness. You know, it's a big, big topic in the Bible. In fact, the entire Bible from the cover of Genesis to the close of Revelation talks about the story of God's forgiveness of mankind. It's a big topic. When Jesus was here, he talked about forgiveness. The Old Testament talks about forgiveness, about God forgiving our sins. But we need to recognize that today we are far from paradise. We live in a world where there is sin, where people hurt one another. And as we noted last week, that what happens is that when somebody offends us, I have had the experience of having an individual come to me and say, "Pastor, Sister so-and-so never spoke to me at all this morning." Now, that's not too serious if you're in a church of 300 or 400 or 500 people. But if you're in a church of 30, that can be a little painful. Especially if that person feels that somehow there is something untoward happening. We hurt one another. And sometimes we hurt one another deeply. Sometimes we are wounded from our own families. And those wounds in particular can be very, very damaging. Because we expect more. We expect more from the people that we love. And we expect more from the people who are supposed to love us. We also deal with hurts and pains and anger because of individuals in our workplaces who treat us inappropriately. Perhaps they make fun of us because of our peculiar beliefs with regards to Sabbath or maybe the health message or something along those lines. You get put down. You get made fun of. Some are mistreated. I shared the story with you last week of how I was mistreated. And so we talked last week about what to do and how we respond when people hurt us, when people wound us, either knowingly or even unknowingly. The first thing that we try to do is we try to get an apology. We tell others about the injustice that's done to us so that we can get sympathy. And so we go around and we say, "Hey, did you know that this person said this about me?" And we try to garner support for us. We try to get sympathy for our feelings. Over time, that hurt continues to grow. And it turns to anger. And anger literally turns to resentment. We looked at that last week. And we start to fantasize about how we can get even. "Well, I just can't wait till they get their comeuppance." And then sadly, as time goes on, we withdraw from that person. We withdraw from others who might hold them with some esteem. We withdraw from their particular group of friends, and we find ourselves alone and isolated with our hurts and with our pains. We discovered last week that life is not fair. We discovered last week that people will hurt you because people do not operate in your world, in your mind. And people do not have to do what you want them to do. So life is not fair. There will be hurts. There will be pains. There will be heartache. But there is a central truth. And we looked at that central truth last week, and that central truth is when life is not fair, we're left with simply two options. And last week we looked at the option of blame. But there's a second option, and that is to forgive. When we looked at the subject of blame last week, we devoted most of our time to it last week. We discovered that the idea of blaming the other party for our miserable lives is actually problematic. Because, you see, blaming the other party, we discovered last week, does not work. Blaming the other party simply says that the other party has to change, and until there is change, there is nothing that can be done. So we find ourselves stuck in a rut, unable to move forward. It saps our joys and our energy and our emotions and leaves us feeling sad and discouraged and, yes, even frustrated. And we go on blaming our miserable lives for what someone else did or what someone else said about us. We struggle as Christians with the topic of forgiveness. And yet, as I began my message today, I shared with you that the good book is really all about forgiveness. It's about a God who forgives us of our sins, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, who is to us the great counselor, the great comforter. And yet we find ourselves struggling with forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I struggle with forgiveness from time to time. And I'm sure that if you were honest with me today, that you would say, yes, Pastor. We come to a passage, the scripture, that is mind-boggling, really. When you think about forgiveness, these are not the obscure words of some prophet or some mystic. They are, in fact, the words of Jesus Christ himself. Peter had come to Jesus with a question. And the question that Peter asked Jesus was this: how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Question mark. The Jewish thought of the day was that you can forgive someone three times. Peter, in wanting to impress Jesus, said, how often? Up to seven times? More, twice more, and a little bit more than what the popular thought of the day is? It's a big question. How often do I forgive my brother who constantly hurts me and puts me down? How often do I forgive my coworker who is constantly causing problems in my life and has ruined my life and my career? How often are we to forgive? Peter was trying to get brownie points with Christ by going twice and a little bit more than twice of what the popular teaching of the rabbis were in his day, that you can forgive three times. Peter says, seven times, Lord? And Jesus responded and said to him, according to the NIV, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Saying that we're to forgive the person what appears to be an unlimited amount of times. I mean, can you just imagine if we took this passage literally, and we waited until that 77th time and we forgave, and then on the 78th time, we nailed them over the head with a piece of 2x4? I'm free. We have to examine what Jesus is getting at. And what Jesus is getting at is something that we talked about last week. It is really the condition of our hearts. The condition of our hearts. Jesus knew a lot about forgiveness. In fact, one of the very last acts of his life here on this earth is when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the example for us today is not to be like your neighbor or your mother or your father or your aunt or uncle or the head deacon or the pastor, your example to strive for today is to be like whom? Be like Jesus. But we struggle with this. We struggle with this because forgiveness, how do I put this? We struggle with this because we allow pain and we allow heartache and disappointment to take control of our mind. And as we will see today, we allow it to turn into a grievance from which there's almost no way back. See, here's the problem today. The problem is we don't want to forgive. The problem is we simply do not want to forgive. I don't want forgiveness. I want to get even. Yeah, we play that game. You know, when we play softball and we're trying to figure out who's going to go to bat first, we take a baseball bat and we toss it back and forth. And each time that you catch it, you move your hand a little further up on the bat, right? Until finally there's nothing left, only the knob. We always got to be one better. And we don't want to forgive because we associate forgiveness with weakness. We associate forgiveness with letting the other person off the hook. I mean, we raise questions, and I've had conversations with people who says, why should I forgive, Pastor? Tell me, why should I forgive? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the innocent party. They did this to me. But I have discovered in my ministry that at the very core of our reluctance to forgive is our innermost feelings that that person should be punished for what they did. We want them to feel the pain that we felt. We want them to hurt. And people will say, well, why should I let other people off the hook? I mean, if I forgive them, I've let them off the hook. The truth is, when I forgive, I actually let myself off the hook. You might remember last day that we spent quite a bit of time talking about this subject matter, talking about how, you know, we held on to blame and we were assigning blame to individuals and that it hurt us. And as long as we continue to hold on to that blame, our lives were not complete, our lives were not filled. But here's the problem. When I do not forgive, I'm the one left with the pain and the misery. And so often the other person has absolutely moved on. They've gone on with their life. They've absolutely moved on. They're not thinking about us. And yet we are allowing that individual who hurt us or to wound us to live rent-free right here in our heads. See, here's what happens, folks. Here's what happens. When something hurtful happens to us, we tend to stew over it. I have a friend of mine, a colleague in ministry, who wrote a book. It's a very interesting book. If you would like to learn how to handle stress, I would recommend it to you. It's called Don't Eat the Soup as Hot as They Cook It. Don't eat the soup as hot as they cook it. And let me tell you something. In his book, he teaches us how to pull back and not eat the soup, not eat the stew that we have created for ourselves in our mind of hurts and pain and suffering and blame. You see, when something hurtful happens to us and we stew over it, what we're really doing is we are creating a grievance story. And the reality is, life isn't fair. Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. You do not have to live a miserable life because you're stuck in your pain. And there are far too many people in this world in which we live that are living miserable lives because they have not resolved issues in their past. A grievance story we allow to develop. A grievance story is a tale of helplessness that helps explain our inability to improve our own life. It causes us to think more about what is wrong with our life than what we can do to improve our lives. In short, we end up handling a ton of energy, end up handing, rather, a ton of energy and mental real estate to somebody who we don't even like because they've hurt us. We allow them to live rent-free in our heads. And because we can't get it out of our head who that person is and what they did to us, we cannot move forward healthy, mentally, physically, or spiritually. My brothers and sisters, a grievance story develops. And in order to get rid of grievances, we have to choose forgiveness to get our life back together. You see, a grievance story develops when we suffer wrong. A grievance story develops when we suffer wrong and when we attach a specific and healthy negative interpretation to the event, we frequently retell the story to ourselves and to others over and over and over again. Keep on telling the story. And when we tell the story over and over and over again, people will give us their advice, but we never take it. We move to the next person and we tell them the same story over and over again. And they tell us something, and then they move on to the next. We allow ourselves to get stuck in our grievances, and we allow that other person to live rent-free in our head. Can I submit to you that simply telling and retelling our grievance story does not heal our injury? Instead, every time we retell it, we simply open up the old wounds. And it just makes it worse because we are continuing to open that wound. You see, grievance stories fuel grudges. And they end up consuming our life. And we end up wasting tons of energy that we would be better spending on something that's more positive. See, we tell our stories repeatedly. And we fantasize that by doing so, somehow we're actually punishing the other person. But the one who ends up suffering the most is not the offender. It's not the one who hurt you. It is you and your family and your friends. Can I say this to you as your pastor? If you want to move from a bitter life to a better life, you need to understand that the past and what's happened in the past only exists in one place, in your memory. And that grievance story, that memory has power over your life only as long as you keep the memory alive. We need to change our grievance stories. We need to tell ourselves a different story than what we've been telling ourselves. Because what we've told ourselves obviously is not working. I want to do a little demonstration of this, okay? I want you to think right now, every single one of you, think of a time when you have been hurt. Think of a time when you have been, may have been a husband, may have been a wife, may have been a child, a coworker, every one of you. And I want you to think of that hurt in terms of this lemon. This lemon represents all of our hurts and all of our pains and all of our woundedness. And as you think about this, we begin to cut ourselves up, so to speak. We find ourselves dicing and slicing, dissecting, trying to make heads or tails out of it, assigning blame. And our lives become focused on this, so we can't think of anything else. We digest it, and it becomes bitter. And we want to spew it out of our mouth. Now stop everything. Stop thinking about the lemon. Stop thinking about the lemon. How many of you can stop thinking about the lemon in the demonstration? You can't. And this is the illustration. Because we have to tell ourselves a different story. And this apple represents our different story. And we just take our different story and we chew on that. And the longer that we chew on our new story, anybody thinking about the lemon? No. Why? Because we have told ourselves a different story. My brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who call yourself after Christ's name, let me share with you today that one of the ways to help us deal with our hurts and our pains and our grievances is to choose forgiveness and to tell ourselves a different story. You see, we allow the bitterness, we allow the tardiness to consume us. And we can't get it out of our mind because we're constantly chewing on it and thinking about it. But psychologists will tell you that one of the keys to moving on in life is to retell the story or tell yourself a different story. What you focus on is your choice. It is a choice that every single one of us has. To taste of the bitterness of our hurt or our pains, or to taste the sweetness of forgiveness and the grace of God. It is our choice. But we have to change our grievance story in order to be able to change our life. There is no delete key for reality. And so it is with our story. Our stories are powerful. Our stories are hurtful. And our stories control our lives as long as we think about them. But when we examine the story a little closer, we begin to see other things. And when we do begin to examine the story, we begin to see the story we tell ourselves and others really distorts the truth in the larger picture. For there's always how many sides to a story, folks? Three sides. There's her side and his side and the truth. All right? Always three sides to a story. And the problem with many of us when it comes to forgiveness and grievances and blame and assigning people to our minds to live in there is that our problem is caused by them. And we never look at our own lives. You can't be sure because there are faults on both sides. And there even may be faults from outside of the family through in-laws and pressures that get placed on them. There is more to your grievance story than just your side of it. And so we need to be wise. We need to understand. We need to look at the truth of what really took place. We distort the story to what we want to believe about the incident. It's always what we believe is right. We seldom, if ever, see the bigger picture. It's all about what I believed happened. The second thing is that when we tell the story to ourselves or to others, we are never the villain. We're always the victim. It's always the other person that's at fault, and we assign no fault or no blame to ourselves. And when we do that, it always leaves a distorted story and leaves us helpless to make any changes. Let me ask you, what are your options? We discovered in so far in this series that blame is not an option. It is an option, but it's not the answer. We've learned that repeating the story to ourselves and others is an option, but it simply causes grievances that continue to lie festering in our hearts and our minds. And the truth be told, we all know that these things lead us down a pathway to bitterness and resentment, and it literally consumes our lives just like that lemon. We don't want that, but there's another option, and that is the option to forgive. Because when we do not forgive, we are in effect handcuffing ourselves to spend the day with the person who we don't want to be with. We're literally carrying them around in our mind day and night. So today, there is another option, and that is to forgive. But I'm going to submit to you a reality as I see it, and that is forgiveness is a learned skill, that some of us never learn, and yet one that God would have us master in our lives. You see, today, the truth of the matter is that all religions tell you that you must and that you should forgive. Every religion Every world religion teaches you that you should forgive. But the truth of the matter is, there are no world religions out there that teaches you how to forgive. Well, guess what? But here's the thing. If you are really sincere in wanting to end the torment, to end the pain, to end the hurt that you have been experiencing, do not miss next week's message. Because next week's message, I'm going to teach you from the Word of God and from experience how to forgive that person. Understand that forgiveness is not suggesting that the event never happened. Forgiveness is not suggesting that it didn't take place. Forgiveness is not letting the other person off the hook. Forgiveness is not meaning that you've got to kiss and make up. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you've got to sit down and buy them their next meal. For there are consequences, and we'll discuss those next week. So here's what I want to do. Next week, I want to teach you how to forgive. Practical, pointed message. And then we're going to close the series the week after, and we're going to dwell on God's forgiveness for our sins. For every time that I point a finger at someone else, there are several pointing back at me. And I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I recognize that I wound people and I hurt people in the same way that you wound and you hurt people. So that's where we're going with this series. Next week, choose to forgive. How do I forgive? And then the week after, how God forgives us and what He has done for our forgiveness. Lord, help us not to eat of the bitterness, but instead, help us to eat of the fruit of Your Holy Spirit. Give us a forgiving spirit, O God. Help us in our journeys, in our pains, in our hurt. Help us not to hold on to grievances, but to bring them to You. Your word is a challenge to us. Peter thought he was doing so good, God, but You told him that forgiveness is a state of mind. It is a state of a healthy heart. And so, God, come, bless us as we go home. Help us to be more loving, more kind, more gentle, and more forgiving to all. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on The Five Pastors. Tonight's speaker was Pastor John Murley. If you would like more information on what you heard in this message, feel free to email us, voar@voar.org. This is the place, Monday to Friday at 10 p.m., for inspiring messages on The Five Pastors.